Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Now, this is the Tuesday show, but we always remind you that when this happens, that the Monday show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served the Valley for decades. There's a good reason why, because they take great care of their customers. That's what you want in your insurance agent. Want to get the right price, best insurance. Something happens, you want them to go to work for you. That's what they do at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Obviously, Penn State will play Pitt in game two of the season. I'll get to the game one evaluation here quickly. I think people that have listened to the show over the years, they probably know usually how I feel about things, sometimes even before I start talking about it. And I think people know that have listened to me over the years that, well, to me, an opening game is a starting point. It is not the be-all, end-all. It doesn't. You know, I think the last time I got really juiced about watching an opening game and saying, wow, was probably the Penn State-Arizona game in 1999. Well, that's a heck of a long time ago. I don't put a lot of stock either way in opening games of the season. I think it's a starting point. I think it's where you build for Penn State. This was the first time that this offense was used in practical application against an opponent. Now they've got great video about what they think works, what they think needs to be changed, tightened up, or maybe taken out. So I think that gave them that gauge. I think defensively the same thing. You'll see Brent Pry is aggressive on every down. Doesn't wait for certain down distance situations to dial something up. He wants to be aggressive on every down. And I think we saw that on Saturday. I believe 18% of the plays that Kent State ran were negative plays. The defense never gave up a touchdown in the game. In fact, the defense outscored the Kent State offense 7-6 because Amani Oyewariye was able to pick off that pass and run it back for a score. After the third series of the game, Penn State gave up no points defensively. I thought the two safeties, Marcus Allen and Malik Golden, played very well. I felt that the linebackers played very well. Garrett Sickles played, I thought, really well. And what you saw from Amani Oyewariye on those back-to-back plays, one where he stopped the running play on the edge, then came back on the very next play, broke on that ball, and picked it off and ran it back for a touchdown. He's always had the athletic ability. But for certain young players, sometimes it takes a little bit of game action, which he got last year, to get a real feel for the game, and then suddenly realize you can use your athleticism to your advantage. So I see a play, and a year ago, right? For example, I'm playing his spot. A year ago, I see that play and go, okay, wait a minute. Yeah, he's going to go, okay. And then you react and you make the tackle. Now he comes out, he goes, here it comes, and boom, I'm going for it. Here it comes. I know where they're going, and you go for it because you see it, you believe it, and you don't have to hesitate. And he didn't hesitate in that play, and he ran it back for a touchdown. So that was great to see. I think John Reed has a good feel on punt returns. And I think, and that's something that's not talked often enough about, having a feel for it. Qadri Henderson of Pitt has a great feel for returns, too. I think Nick Scott has a feel for it. Miles Sanders has to develop a feel for it. And that'll just come with time. That'll just come with time. I mean, he kind of comes up, and then all of a sudden he gets to a spot, and he kind of shuffles his feet a little bit, looking for a hole. Kick return, you got to take it. You got to find a little bit of a gear. See, there's the opening, boom, and accelerate, and then go through it. You have to have that feel. You know, how far do I take it? Then when do I hit the accelerator? Have to have vision to go with that. And you'll need to do that. Gilligan really punted the ball well. You feel like they have solved a problem there. Tyler Davis did his thing. Joe Julius, 7 kickoffs, 6 were touchbacks. I thought all were well placed. And the irony is, the one kickoff that was run back against him, he made the tackle, which I think everybody knows by now. Offensively, Saquon Barkley's really good. 105 yards rushing in the game. I thought his blitz pickup was really good. He was not happy with his blitz pickup. I like the fact that he's not happy with his blitz pickup a lot. That tells me he has an intense desire to be better and an intense desire to be a really good all-around back. But he played really well Saturday. Mike Gesicki played well. Gesicki's got to be a better blocker. But in the pass game, Mike played really well Saturday. Chris Godwin played really well, too. Up front, some good moments. They only gave up the one sack. And, of course, you know, there was the hit for the fumble for the touchdown. Running game was, you know, they did enough in the running game. But, but going forward, they're going to have to be better. And Trace McSorley, I thought for his first start, did a really good job. He was what I thought it would be, that he would throw the short and medium range ball very well, and that the deep ball is something that's still a work in progress. Okay. Well, you'll make a judgment mistake once in a while. He made that roll to the left, near Gesicki wide open in the end zone. He tried to shot put that thing in there. You know, I mean, that's just getting experience. You know, he never once squared his shoulders up to throw the ball on that play because he was rolling to his opposite side. And that happens. That's fine. But I thought his timing on the read was really good with Barkley. I thought he made, for the most part, the right decisions as to whether he should run it or Barkley should run it. And when he did run it, he ran it with some real feel. And he's a tough kid. And again, the short to medium range passes, I thought he threw very well. You know, long stuff, yeah. You know, he hit that one to Tompkins. That was big. But I think it's a good starting point for them. And that's what it is. It's a good starting point. I mean, they didn't go out and they didn't beat USC. They didn't beat Ole Miss. But as a starting point, first time in practical application, good. Now they get a good opponent this week. Hey, Pitt's a good team. I watched their tape last night of the Villanova game. We're going to have Craig Meyer from the Post-Gazette on the show tomorrow. We're going to have Matt Leon from KYW on the show tomorrow. I think, well, we have Joe Susan today, correct?
We sure do at 3:35. Yep. Coming off their great win over Marist.
Yeah. And anybody else on the table today?
None today, no. No. Leaving it all up with Coach Joe.
He is, okay. And we'll have a conversation with Bill Hillgrove tomorrow, too.
Excellent.
So we're good. It's all good.
How about your brother out of the gate, leading in our predictions?
I don't want to talk about this.
you and I are tied. The good thing, but we're only one game behind Kevin. So just, we're just getting started.
I'm just. How about Ham on Saturday?
Yes,
he picked Wisconsin to beat LSU. Really? Holy cow! Let's see, but isn't my brother fun?
Oh, he's a trip and a half. Oh, you'll love this. Ran into the chief, Dave Ritchie, over the holiday, and he caught the prediction segment on Friday and absolutely loved it. So,
oh, good. No, I'm glad to hear it.
Yep, and told me to tell you hi.
Oh, great. Dave is one of the great guys out there. My goodness, we're lucky we have so many good people around us. He's one of them. Pitt on Saturday played Villanova. They want to run the football. And Villanova stacked a lot of guys in the box, and they kept them really from running the football. James Conner is a little bit rusty. Made most of his yards center, guard, left. But off the edges, he didn't get much of anything accomplished on Saturday. But it was sure great to see him back. I mean, great to see him back. He's a great player. He's gone through a lot. Just to see him out there was a plus. I thought the tight end, Orndorff, played really well. Really well. They move him around a lot. They use him as a blocker and as a receiver. He was fabulous. I thought Peterman did a good job. I mean, he was only, I think he was 3 of 9 beyond 10 yards passing in the game. I saw the chart, the route tree, and he's 3 of 9 passing. His longest was 19. And he, I thought he managed the game really well. The only Villanova touchdown was off that fumble. I thought they threw a good ball. Again, same thing. Short, medium range stuff was good. Long range stuff, non-existent. And the Pitt defense was very good. I mean, they shut him out. They weren't overly aggressive. Jordan Whitehead played really well. They got a couple of guys in this lineup that are very, very good on defense. I mean, very, very good. And Whitehead's, I think, an exceptional player. And should be considered an exceptional player. I came in with great background. It shows. I thought Tyreek Jarrett, number 6, was great on Saturday. And I thought DeJuan Price, number 5, the defensive end, really good. And he plays with a high motor. I'm talking, he has great speed. They've got some players on defense that can play. And then Kadri Henderson was just tremendous in the return game. Had a, 31-yard punt return. He had the 96-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. He was the difference of the game. He played really well. You see him take that kickoff, and I'm talking about the feel and timing it takes to make that play. And he took it, went a little bit to his left, right? Then saw the slight opening to his right, and then he hit the accelerator. Then he flew through and then went down the sideline. It really was impressive how he did that. And then, Penn State's going to have to control him somehow, either with placement of the ball, whatever. But they can't allow him to be a factor to swing field position because he's really good. Ryan Winslow punted really well. Chris Blewett had a tough day. He had the one kick slide wide right. And then he had another kick from, I think, 47 where, this one, you could talk about penetration up front, but the bottom line is he didn't hit it well. He hit it low and it got blocked. And this guy is, the 5th all-time leading scorer in Pitt history?
I was going to say, I thought he was there in 13, so, man, he's been there for a while. Got to be a senior.
He's been there for a while. So, he just did not have his best day on Saturday. So, that's how I look at them. I think that's who they are. And obviously, we're going to open up the phone lines. What does this game mean to you? Now, if we're doing this game, if we're doing this show in Altoona, Johnstown, Evansburg, Murraysville, Monroeville, Pittsburgh, Washington, Aliquippa, whatever. Oh, what the game would mean to them, it'd be off the charts. But in this part of the state, it's a little different. That's why I'm interested at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. What does this Penn State-Pitt game mean to you? If you are 30 or younger, born in 1986, you haven't really seen many games. I mean, they've stopped playing each other on a year-in and year-out basis when you were 6 years old. Now, if you're 40, it's got a little more meat in the bone. If you're 50 or older, then you remember a lot of games in this series, memorable ones. To me, the heyday of the series was between 1974 and 1983. I think that 10-season span is the span where the rivalry was intense. It was on the same footing as Alabama-Auburn. It was a much better game than Ohio State-Michigan. Ohio State-Michigan was a boring game. Penn State and Pitt was a more exciting game. But that's the only 10-year span where it was like that. I'm trying to think, what the heck? Let's see, 0-2, 1-2. Let's see, Penn State would be 3-1 in that span. 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, 5-3, 6-3. 6-3-1 Penn State was in that span against Pitt. But that was the heyday of it. That was the best of it. Before that, Penn State dominated it, and after that, Penn State dominated it. So, I don't know. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Penn State Pitt Saturday will be a noon kick on a 10:30 airtime. The game is going to be on ESPN, and Bob Wischusen, I think, is doing the game with Brock Heward, I think. I think that's the TV team on Saturday. Derek Williams will join us on the sideline. Jack Ham up in the booth. Ham finally gets a home game. It's been a while since he had a home game.
16 years, I think, right? At last check.
I mean, 2000, we did this game at Three River Stadium. So we did do that. So, I mean, that's been it. I was kid Dick Girardi, anytime like they play Rutgers, Maryland, or any game at the Palestra, I said, well, they finally gave you some home games.
So when they announced the Michigan State game, you texted, yep, you got a home game.
I did. I said, boy, I got to give Pat. He's always thinking of you. All right, Joe Sousa, next half hour. Looking forward to the conversation with the coach. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your
your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Joe Susan, this day in sports history. And, of course, on this day in sports history, the Summer Olympics in 1972 resumed in Munich a day after a deadly hostage crisis took the lives of 11 Israelis and five Arab abductors. I think the group was, called Black September, if I recall correctly. Fernando Valenzuela tied a National League record with seven shutouts by a rookie. The Steelers were banned from practicing on their own field in 1989 because the Rolling Stones were rehearsing for their upcoming concert. That wouldn't have happened in the jackhammer, I can tell you that. Imagine telling Lambert you can't, and Ernie Holmes, you can't practice today. The Rolling Stones are out there. 1995, Cal Ripken played his 2,131st consecutive game, setting a new record, breaking Lou Gehrig's previous record. He also homered in that game. Very pleased to bring in the fine head coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan, off an opening win. Joe, first of all, welcome to the show. It is always great to have you back on board.
Thank you, Steve. I was hearing you talk about Valenzuela. What was his pitch?
Oh, he had that great screwball and a fabulous curve.
Yep. Yeah, those are two opposites. Kind of hard to hit those things because you don't know which way they're going.
Absolutely. Okay, I always look at opening games to me as a starting point, and then you build from there because now you got some video and some practical application. What kind of starting point did you have Saturday?
Obviously, from a defensive standpoint, I thought we did a very good job of impacting the quarterback. Even though we sacked him six times, I think we hit him another 10 times, and those things are cumulative, and over the course of the game, they take their toll on that guy, if not his physical presence, his mental presence. And then to be able to create six turnovers, that was big. And we did turn the ball over once ourselves, but when you're up five and the turnover margin, chances are you're going to look at the scoreboard and like what you see. The other thing was I thought our offensive line really played well, both from a protection standpoint and from a run game standpoint, because as the game wore on, they knew we were going to run it, and they were loading the box. But we did a very good job. We had the ball for over 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, and anytime your defense can sit on the bench and watch you for 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, it keeps them fresh, and it keeps the other team from having the ball.
A lot of good video out of this for you. Were there a lot of teachable moments for you in this game?
Very much so. The front that we played against, that Maris played, is basically the front that Duquesne plays. Duquesne plays a lot more man-to-man, so we have to work against that. But the good thing is that we've worked against that, against our defense through preseason. But, the quarterback at Marist was one of the more athletic kids we'll face. And quarterback for Duquesne is probably one of the stronger armed players that we'll face. He's the young man that we played against last year. And one of the things that you see that he can do is he can throw it from the hash all the way to the other sideline. And Dylan Beckel, he's a big kid, 6'5", 196. Isn't that great of a runner, but he doesn't have to be with his timing and his passing game. So those are going to be things that we have a younger quarterback that kind of fits that mold. He's going to be our scout team quarterback this week, and it'll give us a look at the those kind of balls in terms of people. There are oftentimes people don't even try to make that throw, and then Dylan does that regularly, and we've got to be ready for that because sometimes you can cheat your coverage knowing that people aren't going to throw to number three on the outside. Defensively, they're very good in terms of their scheme. A little bit more athletic, I think, than Marist. And we've got to do a good job in the red zone. That's one of our we highlight three things in each phase: offense, defense, and special teams. And in offense, it's always the ball number one. This week, it's red zone touchdowns. And then the third one is being able to pitch and catch. We had some down-the-field shots that we did not convert on, and you know those wind up being opportunities you normally don't get back against a good team. I think we'll have some of them against man-to-man this week, and we've got to make sure we cash in on them.
Joe, I think there's a misnomer as to what balance is. If I rush for 175 and I pass for 175, yes, I have statistical balance. The thing is, I think it's more important that the other team feels you have the threat of doing either one at any time. Your numbers were relatively close statistically, but did you feel like you developed the threat of both?
I feel we did. I think that our opponent will have the challenge of deciding what to take away. And I think that Duquesne does a good job in that they're going to play primarily with a single safety and play man-to-man. They're a man-free team and at times a two-deep man-under team. But what that brings into play is that if you clear out areas, even in your run game, and if you get a hat on a hat and the receivers are running to a second-level defender or third-level defender, the guys covering the receivers are still responsible for covering them. So it gives you some opportunities in the run game. Obviously, in the passing game, some of the crossing concepts come into play. I've always thought balance is something that you have to evaluate in your first and second down offense, because your third down offense becomes, if it's a third and medium, it's still heavy on the passing game. And I've always thought balance of whatever it takes to put the ball in the end zone. And, you know, if you have a lead, I think it changes that in terms of you don't want to be conservative, but you want to make sure you extinguish the clock. And we were running the ball pretty effectively. We were fortunate that Joe DeFloria really had a good game, and Chad Freshnock, the freshman, came in and really ran for some pretty powerful yardage. He was actually the Patriot League Rookie of the Week. That knowing him, he's the kind of kid that he'll look at that and say, yeah, that's good. Let's get on with it, which those are the kids you love.
Yeah, exactly. For the most part on offense and defense, did you feel as the day kept going that you were staying on schedule on both sides in terms of your ability to control down and distance offensively and defensively?
I think there were times that in terms of, and I think that impacts momentum, there were times defensively that I felt we were ahead of the game in that regard. Offensively, when we fell behind, it was really related to us in terms of penalties. We had some unique penalties that obviously the officials are out there for both teams that took us out of the red zone, which you can't. And really in the last possession that we had, we should have been able to end the game with the ball, but we had an offsides penalty that put us behind the sticks. And those are snaps that you shouldn't let the opponent take. There was a swing in momentum in the third quarter. We got the ball back with about a minute and a half left in the third quarter, and we drove it and took 6 minutes off the clock to kick a field goal, and that made a big dent in being able to control the game. And then we hit a 46-yarder, which he could have hit from 50, that you know, basically put the game out of reach. It was 26-10 at that time, and if you get into the math of the game, that's a pretty good advantage.
Huge. Now, Ben Richard, your mic, gets 13 tackles for losses. A, what kind of job did he do reading plays? And B, what did the guys do up front to open the door for him to make those plays?
You know, one of the challenges, because he's our best pressure linebacker, one of the challenges teams have is whether they put a tackle on him or a back on him. You know, he's going to run by the tackles. He's going to run through the backs. And he obviously are guys up front in terms of when you bring a linebacker and you bring him clean, it's related to the guys up front doing their job in terms of opening gaps for him. But consistently through preseason and obviously in this game, I don't know if you've ever played catcher, but I used to catch, and there were certain pitchers that threw a fastball that landed hard in your hands, and it hurt. That's how Ben rushes a passer, and that's a good thing. I'm glad he's on our side.
And that's a heavy ball.
Oh, yeah, it's a heavy ball.
Well, I mean, that is a heavy
pounder.
Ball. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Schmidt has had some good teams over time. They won the Northeast Conference last year. I know they opened up with Youngstown. So on your checklist, what are going to be a couple of things that need to be emphasized this week to make it another successful week?
What, from a defensive standpoint, obviously tackling's our first of the big three, and then being able to hit their quarterback and being able to disrupt their timing, their a timing passing game. And those are the things that I think will help us. And on offense, being able to beat man-to-man, that is going to be critical. And I know that from an athletic standpoint, knowing Jerry, he feels confident that he can cover us man-to-man. And you know, being able to beat man-to-man, and obviously sometimes that takes more time, so our protection's got to hold up. And we've got to be in a position where we count by sevens, because the way college football is, you saw that game last night, it's multipliers by seven, and you know, you've got to be able to cash in when you put the ball in the red zone. I think that's going to be one of the critical factors for both teams in this game. I talked to Jerry yesterday. He's a good man and does a great job with his program.
No question, man. They've done a great job with that program. You talked about players understanding, okay, that's great, move on to the next one. Every team develops its own personality. Have you seen a personality, Joe, in this team that says, okay, let's go to the next one?
I saw that in the spring with this group. And you know, part of it is that we have a core of leaders that have played a lot of football, and they understand that once a game is done, it's done. You're not going to get it back one way or the other. And their preparation skills are outstanding in terms of, even though there's some carryover from one week to the other, they know that each week is its own separate game plan. Each game is its own separate entity. And our coaches do an outstanding job of preaching that to our players. But you can preach it all you want. If the players don't embrace it, then it becomes a moot point. And that's where we're fortunate with these guys. They the upperclassmen have taken the underclassmen under their wings. They know how to prepare for a game, and that's a reward, because what it does, it makes our jobs as coaches not easier but simpler.
No question. Joe, thanks so much. Congrats on the first one. Best of luck on the next one, which I know is the only thing on your radar right now.
Yeah, I did see Kevin Herr, and I didn't see him on camera, so he didn't look like he gained much weight, but it was good to see him, and it's good to see Sean at our luncheon. One of these days, you got to come down. I know you're probably busy on Wednesdays, but I appreciate you guys covering us, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Look forward to it very much. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Sean. Bye.
We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Enjoyable conversation with the suit during the break. Yeah, it was an enjoyable conversation with the suit during the break. Great to have you back. So his kid made a tackle, huh?
He did, yeah.
Okay, I'm not. This isn't like something that happened in the house, right?
No.
It was actually at a field of play. It wasn't in a parking lot.
Not out on A Street. No.
Oh, well, that's the one I heard of. All right. I think that's great. Actually, I found that his wife, Rebecca, I found her comments to be far more intriguing.
Yeah, me too.
When do you go back to work on Fridays? I guess he's completely aggravated everybody in the parent section. At least if you're going to do that, ask them if they want to buy digital media. All right, so.
You got to parlay into something.
You got to make it pay off. Help me help you. The Sam Bradford trade. Wow, that came out of nowhere. I never saw that. I thought if they were going to trade him, they would have traded him around the draft or whatever. But a few days before the season, pretty much felt like he was locked into that thing and that Carson Wentz would be the caddy and kind of hang in there for a while and then eventually get a shot. Well, now Carson Wentz is your starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Wow. And wow.
Yeah, I was halfway to Beaver Stadium Saturday morning when the story broke, and I'm thinking, boy, I could have sworn that Carson Wentz was going to just, hang on to the clipboard for this year and take everything in. And then, okay, I guess the Eagles, well, this is what we're going to get for him. Let's pull the trigger and get this guy out of town who said earlier this year he didn't want to be here.
Yeah, so there you go. He is the quarterback, and this part about Hill and is splitting reps with Bradford. Well, Bradford's got to come in, learn the system. Not just learn the system. I mean, everybody kind of runs the same plays, but everybody has their own terminology, their own language as to how they do it. And so he has to learn the terminology so that, when they say to him, hand the ball to Adrian Peterson, he can make up some call in the huddle that sounds like you're going to hand the ball to Adrian Peterson. But I give the Vikings credit. Now, I give the Eagles credit, too. I think this is a heck of a trade. They get the draft pick they lost back. That's huge. That was... I think for the future of the franchise... this is just fine. Eagle fans may not like it. I don't know. A lot of them may actually like it. Yeah, look, you're going to go with the kid. We want to see what he can do. Just play. He'll make mistakes. We'll grow with him, the whole deal. They got that new first-round pick they've got bringing in that replaced the other one, and now you're feeling even better about the deal. So. But very few things surprise me in sports. That one surprised me. But when that came up, I thought, wow.
It's just rare you hear about NFL trades in the first place. And just this time, the timing was really weird. I mean, especially on cut day down to 53.
Yeah. That one just completely took me out of the blue. I mean, I thought they would. I completely assumed that the Vikings would get a quarterback. That wasn't even. I mean, I knew they'd get a quarterback. They had to get a quarterback. They had no choice. My question was who, but he wasn't on my checklist of guys to get. All right. Second hour of the show coming up. What does the Pitt series mean to you? I'd like to get your phone calls at 1-800-795-9565. And also, I need to make an on-air correction or at least interpretation about the sports bozo of the day. I received a very, very thoughtful email, which I'll share the email with you during the sports bozo segment and then tell you what I meant to say instead of how sloppy I was in saying it on Friday.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.